60 Books, presented by Store Consulting and Coaching. A design exercise. Four people, 20 sticks of spaghetti, a yard of tape, a yard of string, and one marshmallow. Build the tallest structure you can in 18 minutes with the marshmallow on top. Business school students do it. Lawyers do it. Chief executives do it. And they are routinely beaten by teams of kindergartners. Today, The Culture Code by Daniel Coyle. In two sentences, group performance comes from a small number of behaviors that signal safety, share vulnerability, and establish purpose, and those behaviors are far more physical and mundane than anyone expects. Culture is not what a group believes. It is what a group does in the small moments. From the reading room, this is 60 Books. I'm Miles. 60 of the best management books of the last 100 years, one per episode, read for leaders and teams who think differently, and for work where AI is now part of the job. Nora, why do the children win?
Because the adults spend most of the 18 minutes on status. Who is running this? Whose idea is it? Is it acceptable to disagree with that person? The children skip all of it and start building immediately, and crucially, they fail early and often, so they discover the marshmallow is heavier than it looks while there is still time.
The adults discover it at minute 17.
With one attempt and no time, it is a demonstration rather than a controlled study, and it makes the point well.
Three skills go.
Build safety, share vulnerability, establish purpose, and Coyle's method is to visit groups that perform far above expectation and describe what they actually do, minute to minute.
Start with safety, because that is the biggest section.
His central idea is belonging cues. Small signals that tell a person they are safe here and share a future here. And he leans on work from Alex Pentland's group at MIT, which put sensor badges on people and measured interaction patterns rather than content.
What are the cues?
Proximity, eye contact, turn taking, especially short overlapping turns, energy in the voice, mirroring of posture. Attention that is visibly undivided. And his striking claim is that these predicted group performance better than the substance of what people said.
Hold that, because I am going to come back to it hard.
You should.
The bad apple study.
This is the experiment everyone remembers. Will Phelps, with Terence Mitchell and Eliza Byington, published in Research in Organizational Behavior in 2006. They planted a trained actor into small teams and had him play one of three roles: the jerk, who is insulting and dismissive, the slacker, who withholds effort, and the downer, who is relentlessly pessimistic.
And the effect?
Groups with the planted member performed 30 to 40% worse, and the behavior spread. Where the actor played the jerk, other members became insulting. Where he played the slacker, others disengaged.
One person.
With one exception, which is the part Coyle is interested in. One group did not decline, and the difference was a member who consistently responded to the disruption with warmth and questions, deflecting it and reestablishing safety each time.
Vulnerability.
His second skill, drawing on work by Jeff Palzer at Harvard on what he calls the vulnerability loop. Someone signals a weakness, the other person responds in kind, and cooperation increases. Coyle's counterintuitive claim is that vulnerability precedes trust rather than following it.
And the examples.
Military after-action reviews, where rank is set aside to examine what happened. The Pixar Brain Trust, a group that critiques films in progress with no authority to mandate changes. And leaders who habitually say the four words he treats as the most important in the book. I screwed that up.
Purpose.
His third skill, and his account of it, is deflating in a useful way. High-purpose environments are not full of inspiring speeches. They are full of repetition. Short catchphrases, said constantly, that are so simple they embarrass outsiders. And a very small number of stated priorities, ranked.
The author.
Daniel Coyle, born 1962, a journalist rather than a researcher. His earlier books include The Talent Code in 2009, about skill acquisition, and a book about Lance Armstrong. He has also worked as an advisor to a Major League Baseball organization, which is where a lot of the culture material was tested in practice.
So the method is reporting.
Immersive reporting, with research cited around it. That is worth knowing before we evaluate it.
Now the turn. And I want to start with belonging cues, because I think this is the most important critique we have made in this series.
List the cues again, eye contact, physical proximity, mirroring of posture, vocal energy, rapid turn taking with short overlaps.
Every one of those is a channel that differs across neurotypes.
Every single one. Reduced eye contact is one of the most commonly described features of autistic communication, and it is frequently associated with better listening rather than worse. Mirroring is often absent or delayed. Turn taking with short overlaps is precisely what someone with auditory processing difficulty cannot do because they are still finishing the previous sentence.
So if belonging cues are how a group decides who belongs,
then a group running on those cues will conclude that an autistic member does not belong, while sincerely believing it has assessed something about the person rather than about the channel.
And this show has a name for that.
The Double Empathy Problem, from Damian Milton in 2012, which we have raised in episodes 4 and 6. The failure is mutual. Both parties are misreading each other. But the cue framework, applied naively, hands the entire deficit to one side and calls it culture.
What is the repair?
Make belonging explicit rather than inferred. Say the thing the cue was supposed to signal. I want you on this. I am not going anywhere. That was a good point, and I am going to use it. Words are auditable, and cues are not.
Now the bad apple study, because I think it is misused constantly.
This is the sharpest thing in the episode, and it comes from the paper's own scope conditions. Phelps and colleagues were explicit about who was not a bad apple. They excluded group members with distinctive demographic backgrounds. They excluded people who hold divergent opinions about how to reach the goal, and noted that both diversity and divergent opinion may improve group functioning. And they excluded people who are motivated but lack the ability, noting that this tends to evoke help rather than hostility.
Oh, the study explicitly rules out the person it gets used against.
The three behaviors are withholding effort, expressing persistent negativity, and violating interpersonal norms in a hostile way. The blunt colleague who disagrees in meetings and does not mirror your posture is not in that set. But bad apple is exactly the phrase that gets reached for.
Say the leadership version.
If you are about to describe someone as a bad apple, check which of the three behaviors they are actually doing. If the answer is none of them, and the real complaint is that they are difficult to read or unwilling to agree, then you are using a real finding to launder a preference.
What survives well?
Great deal. After-action reviews are structured, ritualized, rank-flattened, and explicit, which makes them among the most accessible practices we have covered. The brain trust model, feedback with no authority to compel, removes the status threat. And the purpose material, short phrases repeated until embarrassing, is genuinely excellent for anyone who benefits from things being said out loud rather than absorbed.
And vulnerability.
With the same caveat we gave Lencioni last episode, the loop is real, and mandated performance of it is not the same as the loop. Coyle is better here, because his examples are leaders modeling error rather than teams disclosing childhoods. I screwed that up is a low-cost, high-signal sentence, and it does not require anyone to be emotionally expressive to say it.
There are two practices in the book I want on the record, because they are stealable tomorrow.
The first is what a basketball coach in his account does after a loss, which is to sit with the team and watch the film while asking questions rather than delivering verdicts. Coyle's observation is that the coach's most common utterances are short, curious, and interrogative, and that the effect is to make examining failure a normal activity rather than a tribunal.
And the second?
A restaurant group where the founder trained staff to notice and act on small individual details about guests and made the noticing itself the thing that got celebrated internally. The mechanism is that recognition was pointed at a specific behavior rather than at a personality.
Which is the feedback finding from episode 6.
Kluger and Denisi, exactly. Feedback aimed at the task works, feedback aimed at the self is where the harm lies. Coyle arrives at the same place by watching restaurants.
And the way to run belonging explicitly.
If I were handing a leader one page from this book, it would be this. Belonging in most groups is transmitted by inference, and inference is unreliable. So state it. Name the person's specific contribution in public in words. Say that you expect them to be here next year. Say why they were invited to the meeting. Those sentences cost nothing. They are audible to everyone regardless of how they read a room, and unlike a cue, they cannot be misinterpreted as indifference.
What has not held up?
The method first. This is selection on the outcome again. Coyle visits groups that are already succeeding and describes their behavior. Nobody counts the failing groups doing the same things. We have now made this criticism of Collins, Gladwell, Epstein, and Grant, and it applies here in full.
The sensor research.
The badge studies measure proximity, tone, and turn-taking. They do not measure meaning. Establishing that high-performing teams interact in certain patterns does not establish that adopting the patterns produces performance, and it is the kind of finding that could easily run the other way.
The vulnerability loop
rests on a modest laboratory base being asked to carry a great deal of weight. It is plausible, and it is not the settled result the prose implies.
And there is a measurement objection worth stating.
The badge research measures what is easy to measure. Proximity, tone of voice, who spoke, and for how long. Those are proxies chosen because sensors can capture them, and a framework built on them will systematically undervalue whatever the sensors cannot see, which includes the person who says one decisive thing in an hour.
The instrument shapes the theory.
And then the theory shapes the hiring.
The tier.
Excellent reporting, one properly cited experiment that is widely misapplied, and a framework whose central mechanism is a set of nonverbal behaviors that this show has to treat with real caution.
The recap in this show's frame. The culture code says culture is built from small signals of safety, vulnerability, and purpose. For a neurodivergent leader, or one leading neurodivergent people, the operating instructions are these. Belonging cues are exactly the channels that differ between neurotypes, so a group that reads belonging off eye contact and mirroring will misread people and never know it. Say the signal in words instead. Check any bad apple label against the three behaviors the research actually studied, because the paper ruled out the person the phrase gets used on. And keep the structured rituals, the after-action review and the critique group, because those are the parts that work for everyone. And AI.
The book's mechanism is signals, and the honest observation is that these tools operate in the one channel where the signals are explicit.
Meaning?
Written work carries no eye contact, no posture, no vocal energy, which strips out both the warmth and the penalty. For someone whose cues are read wrongly, that is a level field. For a leader, it is a reminder that if belonging only lives in the room, then remote and asynchronous colleagues never get it.
Practical uses.
Generating the after-action review from a transcript, so the ritual survives without someone having to take notes while participating. Turning a leader's rough admission into a clear one. And translating between registers, so a blunt message can be read for its content by someone braced for tone.
The dangers.
If the belonging signal is generated rather than meant, it is worthless, and people work that out faster than anyone expects. And the usual caution. Evidence that AI support improves outcomes for neurodivergent workers is early and mostly practitioner reports. Promising practice, not established fact.
Nora, thank you.
Happily, thank you, Miles.
That is the culture code. Next time on 60 Books, Team of Teams by Stanley McChrystal, and what happened when the most elite military force on Earth found itself losing to a network. I'm Miles. See you then.